We're ready. Are you ready for God? Lord, I'm ready to hear from you. And I put this together and kind of got up this morning and did some other lookings and some things. And so, but I think the energy that I want to look at and the things that I want to focus upon is, you know, last week we shared about the Bible apps and things like that, God's Word and things of the app. God's Word is so full of helps and directions and encouragement and warnings to watch out for. He not only tells us what is good and things out there, but he warns us to be aware of these things as well. So it's a good thing. Sometimes I don't think we can go up to him and be surprised. It's like, well, I didn't know that, God. And he says, well, didn't you study my word? I told you to be weary of this and to be watchful of that. And so, you know, I want to kind of go on this path a little bit of God's word and what we can get out of it so much. And I know day after day and all the things that we go through in life and our individual lives and the things that come upon us, we all have something going on within our daily walk. None of us are immune from it. And so I want to just get us with an understanding, hopefully, and myself really included, it's got to be for myself, that I don't become sluggish or lazy with that of God and with the things of God. And we sometimes can do that when we don't see the answers to what our prayers have been. When we see situations in our own life, personal life, family life, whatever that is, job, you can name it all out there. And we don't see it the way we want it to be, and we don't think God is hearing us clearly, or we begin to think that God doesn't want to listen to me anymore, that sometimes we can begin to get lazy in our focus with God. We start putting things down. We're not as attentive to his word. We're not as apt to pray like we used to. We're not as geared to maybe open the scriptures throughout the day or a few times a day or a few times a week to just kind of get close to God and his word and have his words speak into us. And so what I wanted to look at in Hebrews 6, I kind of started there looking around at this. And Hebrews 6, I've got it listed in starting at 9. Really want to focus upon 12. But it says, but beloved, starting in Hebrews 6, 9, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. And here it is in verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, or in other words, lazy, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherited the promises. That through faith, this through faith is leaning on God with absolute trust and confidence in him and the power that he has. Now we find in Hebrews, we don't really know definitively who wrote Hebrews. But there's looking at the writings, and then as we look at this in the beginning of 6 and 5, you know, whoever's writing, he's talking as far as those that are sharing the Word of God, but also as we share the Word of God, we all become ministers of the gospel, and we all are charged with going out and proclaiming the good news of God, and to proclaim what the promises of God that we have. And there's there's just, I thought about listing all of those, but there's numerous promises that of God. Now, the thing is, I love all those promises, and I will receive those promises, but the one main promise from the very get-go of salvation with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior was my entrance into that of heaven, because Jesus is the way. And as I received him in my life, through that of what the Word says and what my belief is, and I believe God's Word to be that of God's Word, that when I leave this place, I am going to go to a much better place. I am guaranteed that as far as if I serve him, I have the right heart, the right spirit, I'm doing these things, I'm honoring him, I'm glorifying him. I know we can do all of those things and still come before him, and he might be able to throw that line at you like, I knew you not. And so we got to be cautious of that, that we don't get before him and he goes, I knew you not. Well, I pastored this church for 12 years. I was in the word of yours for 5 or 50 years or whatever. Those things have no bearing on it. It's like, I knew you not, because he's looking at what? The heart of that person. And it's like, is my heart, am I showing and living and exemplifying that of Christ? And am I doing it in the right atmosphere, the right focus, that it's nothing for myself? It's hard when people come up and want to give you accolades or thank yous for the things that you do to help them in a situation. It's just like, you want to just kind of remove yourself from that, because it's like, it's not me, it's God in me. And so when that happens, I try to always try to put the focus on God, and it's like, well, I can only do these things because of who is in me, that of God, of Christ's love in me. Because I go out and I serve in this area and I help this person or this family, it's because I want to show love and compassion of my Heavenly Father into that situation that they're experiencing here on earth. And it's not because, oh, Tim, you're such a good guy, or you're such an honorable guy. I'm only Tim, and I'm only as good as I am because of what Christ is in me and what I allow him to live in and through me, and to always to believe and understand and desire to bring honor and glory to who? God. Each and every one of us here today, that needs to be on the frontlet. That needs to be right here upon our whole thing that we ever do for God, is to bring honor and glory to him. And when he uses you, it'll be amazing how he will use you into places that he needs you to show his love, to show his light, to show his compassion, to show his mercy, to show whatever it is that he needs to show that individual into that situation. And he's going to, if we're a servant of his, a vessel of honor, a vessel for him to pour himself in and through, that we will be able to affect that person's situation, not because it's Pastor Tim, not because it's Chaplain Tim, not because it's Tim, but you know what? It's him in me, living through me, and it's just using this vessel, this clay. But I've got to be on guard. I've got to be watchful, as you do, that we maintain this attitude of where the glory goes to that of God. But when we get into this and we find this, when things don't go the way we want to, that we will begin to maybe lag back. We will begin to look at other things. Now, when we look at this area here, but beloved, be confident. Or it could be said this, trust of the better things concerning you. Do we have that trust? Do you have that trust in your God and the things that he has for you? I hope so, that you have that confidence, that trust of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. So here we're talking about not just what? Salvation is the big key, right? Salvation. Without that, you could take all these other good things that God is doing for me personally here upon this earth, and I'd be glad to give all of that away if all I'm going to hold on to and thank him for is what? My salvation. My salvation. To me, everything else that comes past that and all the wonderful promises of God, that's just the icing of more icing of more icing on the cake. Some people like cake like 2 inches and like icing like 6 inches. You know? Some people go, oh my gosh, that's so sweetly sick. Yes, it is, but it tastes so good, you know? But that's just more icing on the cake that God has for us of all these other promises. And so what it's telling us here, that yes, things that accompany our salvation. I think when you get a firm grasp of that, you should be able to be out in public and people look at you and say, I want to be able to laugh like you. Hey, I hope I can have that joy. For God, and it goes on, is not unjust to forget your work. And then it gets down into verse 11. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Hope. This hope is not that, oh, wishy-washy hope, okay? But it's having a confident, do you have a confident expectation based on certainty of God's word and upon God's promises? That's the hope that I have. Is that the hope that you have? Do we find that we go out into the world and people out there, we've heard it many times over, say that there is no, people in the world have lost all hope. They have lost all hope. Because what they were originally believing hope in was something that could be taken away. Job, family, relationships, money, occupation, hobby. Whatever the case is, we find in the world, we put our hopes into all these things and we are enjoying this, and all of a sudden when something happens and that is all wiped out from us, or they've never had that because wherever life they've come from and they've always seemed to struggle, but they've struggled because the enemy has done a good job of doing what? Keeping them down. The God of this world does nothing better than want to keep his thumb on any of us to keep them down and submissive to the things of this world. And so that's when we have to rise up from the things of this world and begin to look at the kingdom concept of a kingdom much better than the place that we are at right now, and to believe that that kingdom is the kingdom of my salvation. That's the kingdom that I am going to. But we also understand that God wants to put his kingdom upon this place so that we can give hope to those that are hopeless, so that we can say, hey, join us. Jump on the bandwagon. Here it is. And it's not 15 steps that you've got to do. It's going to be a very simplified step of getting the hope that we have or that I have, and you've got to grasp a hold of it, and you've got to desire it. I believe most of us here today, we're only where we're at with God because of what? My desire to go further with him. It's your desire to go further with him. He will leave you right where you want to stop. Right when you want to just pack it in, or if you want to, you know, we've talked about in the past to where, you know, don't camp here and leave your tent here, and this is as far as you're going. Because if that's where you're going, God is going further, and you're going to be there wondering what happened. But our desire, the things that I have, the hope that I have, it's only because of my desire to stay up and to stay with that of God. And so we've got to understand, it's not a wishy-washy. The world has a wishful hope. Oh, I hope I win the lottery. I hope this happens to me. I hope I get this. I hope I get the house. I hope I get the job. But this hope that we have as a Christian, as a child of God, we have a confident expectation. And then we get into that area in 12, where it says that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, they have inherited the promise. Oh my goodness, a lot of us, myself included, at times, we're very short on what? Patience. I have gotten more short on patience the faster that things used to be able to get done and accomplished. And it seems like now there's more steps and hoops that you got to go through to get things accomplished if everything's not lined up just right. Has anybody ever been frustrated with something on the computer? Anybody been frustrated on your cell phone? Anything, you know, you do a download, an update on this thing here, which I did sometime back, and things are not working the way they used to, or I got to go back in and adjust something because it turned a switch off, or it turned this on and I didn't want it on. And we find that we are short of patience. Even us in the church can be very short of patience if I don't take a step back and say, now, wait a minute, God, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Slow down. Slow down. I believe sometimes God puts these steps and these roadblocks, so to speak, in those areas to hopefully slow us down to say, pay attention to what's going on around you, Tim. Look at this, look at that. Listen to this, listen to that. Sit here and rest. I've started to get back on the thing where last week or so back, I went out and I just walked about couple of times around the lot. I just walked through the cornfield that was down, but I was walking through that and walked around it. I thought, well, that's enough. Okay, I've done my exercise for the day. And I got over here and I walked into the parking lot and I just kept going. And I just did it again. It's no big deal, no big feat. But it's saying that I finally said, I'm going to get out there and away from my desk. And I left my cell phone, I think, in the office. I didn't have, if I would have fainted out there, hopefully somebody would eventually saw a big lump out there. Buzzards. Buzzards circling around. Going to get a crane to lift me up. Hey, call in the groups. We got. Oh my goodness. But and maybe you guys have already done this. I'm talking to the choir. But take that phone and set it aside, and leave it for some time. Nothing is that urgent, and if it is, what happened in the days gone by? It happened anyway, and you found out later. Now you just find out sooner, so that you can be more agitated. But doing that, or going and sitting on that bench back behind the church and just sitting there and listening to the wind blow through the pines. And I have so many questions with God. What is going on now, God? What's next? What do you got planned? Are we doing what you want? Are you okay with it? More things to come, Lord? Give me a clue. But we have got to have patience to persevere. Because things don't happen like that. And if they do happen like that, sometimes errors are done. Mistakes are made. So we have to have patience. But here we talk about here where it says, in patience, inherit. Patience, having that fortitude, long-suffering, and the ability to endure persecution. So in our Christian walk, we need to have a patience level that I can endure suffering. It's not pleasant. Anybody want to say, give a hallelujah for suffering? If so, we'll take you out the back of the church and swat you one. I love suffering. It's the greatest. Hallelujah. No, none of us like to have a splinter in your finger. None of us like to get hit. None of us, whatever. We do not like to suffer. But it's building us up. It's only usually during those times of that we see the hand of God move into a situation that only God can move into to do something, because everything else is gone by the wayside. Nothing that man can do, nothing that I can do, nothing that I can conjure up can affect it, but God can. Amen? And when I have patience to sit and to say, Lord, you've given me the knowledge and the understanding of what I think I can do, and I've done it, and it's all into your hands now, and I'm going to trust you, believe in you, because you are my God. The hope that we have in Christ should keep us from becoming sluggish, becoming lazy, or feeling bored. If we look at our time in this life as like that of an athlete that trains hard and runs the race that's expecting to finish, nobody in athletics ever trains, goes through the regimens of train for months and years at a time. They do not train to go out to say, when I run this race or when I go into this sport, I am planning on coming in last. Do you think they go in with that attitude? An athlete that is fine-tuned and wanting to what they want will train and train and train, and when they hit that mark to run or to jump the vault or to jump the high jumps or to do anything in life or to go out and play baseball or football, they're conditioning and conditioning and conditioning to only do one thing, and that is to win. We as a church, we as individual churches within ourselves, God's church within us, we've got to be conditioning ourselves to do what? Every time you get up every day, you've got to have a win-win mentality of your day. Don't you believe that? If you wake up and figure out, I'm going to lose today, that's when you roll back over in bed and go, why get out of bed? Or that's why you go, why do I need to shave if I'm going to lose today? I'm just going to grow a beard, and I'm not going to leave the house for 6 months. I'm just going to become a hermit because it's just going to be a bad day. I already know it. We have the need to wake up with a mindset that whatever the challenge is of this day, God will see me through it. God will give me the strength personally. He will give me the wisdom. He will give me the knowledge. He will give me whatever it is that he wants me to play my part. Does anybody out there do your part to help God? I hope so, because it ain't just all God. And you sit back and you're lazy boy and say, here I am, Lord, you're going to do it all for me. We have got to step up to the plate, and we've got to understand that when that next day comes, we're going to win that day. Whatever life throws at me, I'm going to go through it. Whatever happens, I'm going to see something better past it. May not be that day, may not be that week, whatever the case is. But if we wake up with a defeated attitude, you're going to live a defeated life. Don't you believe that? You know, the psychology and world will tell you that, you know, whatever you think, that's what's going to happen. If you think down, a lot of people will think that if I'm going to get this disease, you know what? They will talk themselves into getting that disease, whatever that disease is. The enemy has done such a good job of doing all of these things, and we fall into that trap. But I am one that I don't want to get into his trap, because God's word tells me good things of promises. God's word tells me things to watch out for. And those are the things that I'm going to do on both sides of that coin. And I'm going to be paying attention. Sometimes you got to be paying attention to more of the adversities that God says to be prepared for than to look at the promises that God has for you. Because if you don't make it through those adversities that God is warning you, you're going to be a hard-pressed person to come to the promises that he has, because the adversity is going to take you over, take you down, flatten you out, and you're going to be done for the race of God. So we've got to wake up like that of an athlete every day, that I am not training, I am not reading God's word so that I can fail. I am not following Jesus and Jesus in my life so that I will fail through my life. No, I am doing these things through that of God, through that of Christ, through the Holy Spirit in me, so that I can win. Whatever that means, win, but it's to be winning on God's team, to where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not to say you did this and you did that, or you're so fine and you're this, oh, you're a magnificent Tim. I just want to hear my God say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all. If he says that, that's it. But it takes me every day on this life to do what he's asked me to do. To have that winning attitude. To have that attitude that knowing that it's not a wishful hoping, but it's a confident hope. It's not having, you know, oh, I'm going through this or that, it's all lost and God doesn't love me. No, we're going to go through a struggle and God's going to see me through it. So we got to be like that of an athlete. We would, in our Christian walk, need to keep our focus on what lies ahead, likened to that of an athlete. I am practicing to where I can jump the highest vault. I am practicing so that I could jump over the highest hurdle, the fastest hurdle. I can do this, the farthest long jump, whatever the case is, the longest run. We practice and we train up for such a time as that. That is what it's all about, of being in God's word. That's what it's all about, studying God's word. That's what it's all about, being in prayer. That's what it's about, hearing from God. That's our conditioning, okay? I jumped over in 10, Hebrews 10. And the title, Hebrews 10:19, my title here says, hold fast to your confession. In Hebrews 10:19, it says this, therefore, brethren, having boldness, or the confidence, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen to that. And let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching. So remember, this hope is not wishful thinking. It's having a confident expectation based on certainty. The biblical hope is that of resting on God's promises. So I want to kind of look at a couple of areas here in that 10, 19 through 25. In 23, where it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful." We need to recognize this, that Jesus, he's destroyed the fear of death for us. That's why as a Christian, when the time comes, and when we have a funeral, that the fear of death is not in our vocabulary. It's a time of celebration, remembering that person's life, but knowing that that person has moved on to a much better place that goes back into that other promises that we have had, talking about salvations and other promises after that. That's that area of salvation and knowing that where I am going from this life has been prepared for me by that of Jesus as he speaks in John about all of these things. We have to, by faith, accept the Bible's record of Jesus, what he's accomplished on our behalf. It's also, it draws us near to God. Faith will draw us to that of God. We begin to believe and accept the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice, and we can enter into that of God's presence with confidence. Faith believes the Bible implicitly. Goes back to that area of Timothy where, you know, all word of God is inspired by that of the Holy Spirit, by God's breath, the Holy Spirit, by that put into men to write. Faith believes the Bible, knowing it is God's living self-expression, and we submit to the judgments of his word. And then also faith is being willing to suffer, if need be, with Christ, knowing that our reward is not in this earth. Amen. Our reward is not in this life, but is in that of heaven. And then when we get into that area of let us draw near with a true heart and then not forsaking the assembling of that of believers, we find that God and Jesus, they recognize fleshly tendencies to become lackadaisical. That word lackadaisical, lazy, slothful, lethargic, sluggish, exhausted, inactive. Oh, Lord. We as a church have to be cautious. You know, this church has been since 83, here probably since 85. Been through a lot, haven't it? Haven't we, those that have been here for some years? Been through a lot, seen a lot, ups and downs, everything sideways, whatever the case might be. And by looking at that as the corporate area here, we could become very much lethargic, sluggish, or inactive. Like, what's the purpose? What's the use? You know? And that's just what the enemy wants. But the thing is we just got to be having that tenacity, that fortitude, that desire to stay in the fight. Amen? To stay in the fight, to see what will come about, when it comes about, when it's his time for it to come about. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is. So the opposite of being sluggish, the opposite of being lackadaisical is this, to become active, to be enthusiastic, to be alert, to be vigilant, watchful, to be motivated. These are the things that I find, do you find in God's word to help you when you go through times of trials? Times of situations of stress, difficulties in life. That is the time that you're really going to find out who you are as a child of God. And we all have different levels of things that we deal with, and some further than others, and others more than this, and others more than that. We all have something that we've walked in or through. But don't let it cause you to become inactive. Don't let it take you away. Don't let it take those areas of where you were being motivated at one time for the things of God to where you become unmotivated and lazy and kind of just, well, gosh, you know, just inactive, just take my time. You know, go into Proverbs and things like that for some of these things of slothfulness and all that and what it accomplishes or doesn't accomplish. Jesus recognizes our fleshly tendencies to become lackadaisical, sluggish. And as we understand that, we need to find the opportunities to study it, to avoid it. The scriptures shape our thinking. And it devotes, as we devote our time into reading and prayer and waiting upon the Lord, with prayer of thanksgiving, you will find yourself being, I believe, and it's happened to me, has this happened to you, to where you're recharged again. There's something about praise, something about worship, something about Jesus being quiet before that of the Lord. So as we do this, we find that in continually drawing near to God, we need to do that. Draw near to God every day. Don't let him get past you. Don't take your grasp off of him. Just hold on to God. Drawing near to him and doing what? As we have done today, gather often with other believers so that we can encourage one another, pray for one another, stir up those things within us that God has put in us to be a help and an advantage to the kingdom of his up on this earth, to be a part of this church, to be a part of the community. You know, I get together with these pastors on Wednesdays and things, and we spend an hour and 20 minutes or hour and a half praying and coffee and laughing. But a lot of it is, we come out of it, I think it does, it stirs us up. It stirs up these things within us. It gives us insight. It gives us thoughts. Some days we talk and just have coffee and laugh about a lot of things. Other times we get into some discussions of things of God's word or the church or the focus of this or the focus of that. And we're able to stir up these gifts within us. Get with my good friend on a weekly basis. What does it do? We talk about everything under the sun, but we talk about God at times and a lot of times, and we go right back to God, but it begins to stir up these gifts within us. We begin by question after another of a thought of this to go, well, let's look at the scripture and let's see what that says, or what does that mean there? Or we'll look it over here. Stirring up the word of God within you on a continually basis, daily, bi-week, whatever it is, weekly, 2 week, or every 2 days, whatever the case is, but do something within God's word to where we're being active, that we're being persistent, and that we're allowing God to speak into our situations, that of every day. Now, as we look at Hebrews 10, we find that where it talks about what? The boldness to enter into the holiest by that of the blood, the most holy place, and is taken off of, and speaking to the choir here, the most holy place in the temple was sealed by that of a curtain. It was only the high priest that could enter into this area once a year on that day of atonement when they would offer a sacrifice for the nation's sins. But once the death of Jesus had happened, what had happened to that curtain? It had ripped from the top to the bottom, allowing all believers that now can enter into what? The Holy of Holies. Through that of the blood of Christ, because the curtain was rent, was ripped. And it wasn't ripped from the bottom up to where you would make it think like, well, man had something to do with it. We just snipped it and we just began to pull it. It came from that of the top down, showing that it was something of a heavenly, of God, and the power of that, it took place with that of the sacrifice of Jesus. And it made a way for all of us now. Aren't you glad that all of us, that's you, can go into the Holy of Holies without having to get a hold of a priest, a pastor, somebody that's got some kind of a collar or some kind of a designation, and we can all go in. And we can go in at whatever time of day it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us that ability to go right in to the Holy of Holies. Oh, to be in the presence of God. Shut yourself off from this world and get into the Holy of Holies, even here upon this earth. Get into that prayer closet. Get into whatever your room. I find it sometimes out here at back. I just, wherever. I can be in my prayer closet outside with everything around me because what do? You just shut everything off and you're just right there before the Holy of Holies. You close yourself off. So now we have this privilege that came to us because of this new life that we have through that of Jesus. And it's so important that we do what? That we stay alert, that we stay active, that we keep going, that we don't become lazy, we don't, with all this stuff in our world of today, that it doesn't have a bearing on keeping me focused on that of God. Matter of fact, for us, a lot of times it should focus even, or force us to focus on God even more, because we see the times that are growing closer, amen? We see and we read in the Word, And so we know that the time is growing shorter. So now we have privileges that have come to us because of our new life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Number one is that we have that personal access to God through Jesus. Two, that we may grow in faith, overcoming doubts and questions, and that we can deepen our relationship with God. Oh, Father, anybody got deeper with God? Amen. Amen. Sometimes, here again, just sitting there and allowing him to just download, reading his scripture and wondering about, what's this all about, Lord? And three, we may enjoy encouragement from one another. That's the stirring up of these gifts. That's coming together. That's why it's vitally important. As much as you can attend on a Sunday morning to where you're with the body of believers, body of your family of God, that we're here to encourage and to stir up the gifts, to stir up one another, to pray for one another, to just say, hi, it's good to see you. You might be the only pleasant person that they've seen all week. You know, let them find it here. And that we can worship together. How nice it is to have what? Corporate worship. Sometimes even when there's a small number of people here, when the Spirit falls, it just sounds like there's, you know, like five times more people here just worshiping, because it's just the power of that worship, of that praise, of what it is doing within us. Stirring up those gifts. Stirring up that time that we have with that of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. The Lord knows what we're going through. He's already aware of it. Stay strong in him. Don't leave him. When the times are really getting hard and difficult for you, that's really the time that you need to stay the closest to him, and don't turn away from him like so many do. I wonder how many people turn away from God when they go through a horrific situation and they get to that understanding like, well, if there was a God, this wouldn't have happened. And all of these things that come in, even into a good Christian family, a Christian home, into a church, whatever the case might be. Many churches have gone through various struggles and hardships and people having difficult times. That's really, the church should be there for that. The church, as we've talked about many times in the past, is like a hospital, right? Jesus kind of focused on that a little bit. Why should those that don't need a doctor go to the hospital? No, it's me. They're coming to me because they're hurting. And those of sin, they're going to come to me. I'm not looking for the cream of the crop. I'm looking for those that are hurt and having problems and are beaten down and downtrodden. I am here to give them hope, to give them encouragement, to touch their diseases, to heal them from their diseases, whatever the case might be. And so our churches are filled with hurting people. It's not just this church. The five or six churches that I get together with every week on a consistent basis, I can name off three to four things all the time that somebody in those churches, a family, an individual, that is having a very hard time with something. With something. And it's not just that they got a sore arm or they got a sore tooth. I mean, it's family issues. It's health issues. It's addiction issues. But the church is that of a place for healing, amen? But God is still God. But the church is a place to come, to see something different, and to be changed. Not that we change you here, but the Spirit of God begins to minister and begins to change that person. Not me, not you. Bible and the Word of God will eventually change that person if it gets in and they allow it, and there's a two-way street there, okay? But God's Word, through that of the Holy Spirit in their lives, will do the changing. All we've got to do is just be the vessel, to be that person there, to give them encouragement, to pray, to answer some questions, whatever the case might be. We got to realize that when we get in the midst of the world and be in that light, it's pretty yucky. Pretty yucky. You're not going out there to the saints and, you know, all these. They're a rough crowd. They've been through a lot, their life, their upbringing, things they're aware of, how they lived. Generally, it's not going to correlate to that of a Christian walk. But that doesn't mean that their lives cannot be changed. They need to see something different. Browbeat them into church or browbeat them into God. We're to go out there and like that of Jesus, he hung around the sinners. Can you believe that? My Lord hung around the sinners. We've got to be willing to go back into those areas, to be a lifeline, to be an encouragement, to let them know and talk about the things of God and our beliefs and our trust. And it's only by that of the power of God within their lives, by that of the Spirit within their lives, that will change them, not me. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you. Lord, you've given us a big job. If we look at it as going out and winning the lost and sharing. But in a way, Lord, if we just live our life as that of a follower of yours, that the Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will draw us. The Spirit will speak through us. And that, Lord, our prayer is that they will see you past us. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us that ability to be that vessel to work in, to work through. But that, Father, we can go into sometimes these areas that are not very sterile, that it's the life and the world that's out there. And for a while, Lord, that light of yours is in that place. And by any one of our conversations, Lord, that they will see something different. Maybe it'll be enough for them to begin to question the good things of you, Lord. And what am I missing? Or what is there more to this God thing? And Jesus and sin and cleansing. What is this thing of the Holy Spirit? And so, Father, I thank you for all the opportunities that you present to us. I pray, Lord, that we are effective for your kingdom in each and every one of those. In those areas that we've dropped the ball, on those areas that we have not fulfilled what you wanted us to do, forgive us. Forgive me. Help me. Keep me alert. Speak even more so into my spirit by the Holy Spirit, Lord, when I get back into one of those areas of conversations or when I get back into one of those areas of where I am at that time. Oh, Father, for us to just show love, compassion, and grace and mercy, it all comes from that of you, Father. I pray again for each and every one here. We thank you, Father, for working in each and one of our lives. I pray, Lord, that we all stay active. I pray, Lord, that we wake up every day with victory on our mind. Oh, Father, I thank you. Amen.